So here we have John describing Jesus' appearance to his disciples. What a wondrous moment that must have been. What a terrifying time that must have been. The disciples were huddled in a locked room waiting for the knock on the door that would bring the Jewish cops to arrest them, the religious police to haul them off to jail to meet the same fate that their teacher, Jesus, had met. They expected to be arrested. They expected still to be crucified. They expected that they would meet the same fate as their teacher. They expected no less than death. And instead, Jesus appears to them, not knocking on that locked door, but appears to them amongst them. Comes to them in spite of locks and doors and walls and every other thing that man can put between himself and the truth. Jesus appeared and said, "Peace be with you." Because at that moment, they had no peace. They were not at peace. They were afraid. They were scared. They were worried. They were troubled. They thought that they were in trouble. And indeed, from a worldly point of view, they were in a lot of trouble. But Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you." And then He did something truly remarkable. He breathed on them and said, "Accept the Holy Spirit." We know that the breath of life is what God used to breathe life into Adam. So Jesus breathed a new life into His disciples. Not only does He give them new life, give them a new spirit, His Spirit, but He does something else. Were He to stop there, it would be miraculous enough. But not only does He give them of His Spirit to give them peace, but then He gives them authority over sin. He says, that if you forgive other people's sins, they will be forgiven. And if you don't forgive other people's sins, they won't be forgiven. Ooh, that's quite a responsibility there, that they could forgive people's sins. Remember what the Pharisees had said about Jesus when He forgave sins? Whose authority does He have to forgive sins? And of course He said, "God gives me that authority." As the Son of God, He had the authority to forgive sins. And as the Son of God, He had the authority in His risen state, not only to forgive sins, but to share that authority with His disciples, who He would then send into the world as God had sent Him into the world. What would happen to the disciples? They would indeed go into the world preaching and doing miracles, transforming lives, showing people the power that they had received, and the people who had not seen Jesus would believe. And so we receive from Christ His Holy Spirit. And if we believe, then we have that power. Quite an awesome responsibility, isn't it? How many times do we say something before we think about what we're saying? If you knew that you could change someone's life with your words, would you think twice before you opened your mouth? I would certainly hope so. I find myself at times saying things and I want to grab them and bring them back. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry, that didn't come out right. As Christians, we believe that our words have power. Power to change people's lives, power to forgive people's sins in His name. It's not us, it's His power. It's His Spirit. Power to condemn people by failing or refusing to forgive their sins. That's scary. If I turn somebody away, am I condemning them to hell? If I'm not there for these young ones when they need instruction, am I condemning them to a life of suffering? Perhaps to suffering for all eternity? Do I have that responsibility on my hands? That's what Jesus said. If you are a stumbling block to one of these, it'd be worse for you than Sodom and Gomorrah. Other people recognized Jesus' authority. The centurion came to him and said, "My servant is sick. If you will but speak, I understand. I am a man of authority. When I say go, they go. And when I say come, they come. If you say, be healed, my servant will live." And so Jesus said, "Your faith is great. Go. Your servant is healed. Because you have believed in me." Do we believe in Him? Do we believe in miracles? Do we believe in healing? Do we believe in transformation? Do we believe that there is something in those words beyond just words? I believe that our words have power. And when we speak ill of people, it's like trying to hurt them. Indeed, it is trying to hurt them. When we speak well of people and good to people and comforting words to people and share with people, then we are doing His work. Amen. And we will receive His blessing. Because we are being His people. But when we turn away, when we refuse to speak up or speak out or share or do those good things that we have the opportunity to, then we have turned away from that God who asked us to be His people, to be His workers in the world, to share His love with others who we meet, to share His peace. When we stand and greet each other, recognizing in each other that community of faith of which we are a part, we are passing the peace. We don't always say, "Peace be with you," but we say, "Hey, how you doing? What's going on?" We are sharing that community. Being the people of Christ, sharing that Christianity. Jesus anoints His disciples with His breath that they may have that Holy Spirit living within them. We ask Him to anoint us with that same Spirit. We ask Him to give us the opportunity to share that Spirit with each other and then to take that Spirit of love, of peace, of healing, of comfort out into the world. I was doing a class on authority here recently with a group of people in a halfway house. And one of the things that I said is that, you know, from a medical perspective, we're real good at understanding illness. We speak of addiction and mental health as illnesses, and we're real good at understanding what's wrong with us. Why things don't work the way they should, why our bodies don't work the way they should, why our minds don't work the way they should, why our lives don't work the way they should. We're real good at that. But we are not real good at healing. We are not real good at overcoming those things. Why not? Because in our medical model, we lack the authority to heal and to forgive. That's why it is so important to have God in our lives, because He gives to His Son and through His Son to all of those who share His name the authority to heal and to forgive. What have you not forgiven? Because it says if we do not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. What have you not helped to heal by sharing a good word? Because if we're not willing to reach out and help and heal others, He cannot bless us with His healing when we are in need. What have we neglected to do? I remember when I was the age of these little ones here and going to Sunday school, we had a thing called catechism. And I don't remember a whole lot from my catechism, but I remember one thing. That there were sins of commission, acts that we committed. Doing the wrong thing was a sin of commission. I committed the wrong act, the wrong sin. And sins of omission. I omitted doing the right thing. And that it was just as much of a sin to fail to do the right thing as it was to do the wrong thing. We want to condemn other people who are doing the wrong things, but are we just as guilty for failing to do the right thing? Reach out to them, help them, share it with them, show them the way. Someone showed you the way. Someone shared with you the word. Someone brought you to church. Someone invited you into the house of God. Someone welcomed you into His family. If we don't do that for one person, we are in danger of sharing that one person's faith. Because that's our job. We haven't done our job. We have committed a sin of omission. We have omitted to do God's work. And we do. All the time. That's why we need to keep working on it. That's why we need to keep coming to church. That's why we need to keep reading the Word. That's why we need to keep praying. That's why we need to maintain those spiritual disciplines that keep us close to God in His Spirit. He offers us the greatest possible reward, heirs to His kingdom. He asks only that we be His workers in the world, to reach out, to speak out, to give a hand to those in need. Not much at all when you consider the forgiveness, the healing, the wonder, the joy, and the eternal grace that we are offered in return. Today is the second Sunday of Easter. We think of Easter as a day, but it's not. It is a season. The time from Jesus rising from the grave until He rises to be with the Father is that Easter season. But that Easter season should live in our hearts. That risen Lord should walk with us and talk with us every day. If He's not close to you, if He's not with you, if He's not there for you, then what is it that we have not done to keep Him there? We are His people. He seeks to be with us, to walk with us, to talk with us. Have we turned away? Have we neglected to listen? Have we not done His work? Have not done His will? Our God is an awesome God. He gives His Son the power over sin and death, and His Son turns around and gives that authority to His disciples, and they, in turn, to those they meet and share their Spirit with. We share that Spirit of God. We share that Spirit of forgiveness and healing. We share that responsibility to go into the world to share the word.